You're listening to the Governors Podcast, which is hosted by school governors, for school governors, and for all involved in or impacted by education governance. On the Governors Podcast, we have open, honest, and transparent discussions about governance in the UK education sector, sharing and providing insights into the realities of entering the boardroom, sitting around the governing board table, and leaning in.
Hello, I'm Sharon Warmington and I support schools and academies as a governor, governance practitioner and a clerk. I'm also the CEO of the National Black Governors Network, supporting the education sector in diversifying their governing boards.
And it's Olivia D. Hind here, an under 30, unapologetically black female who is changing the face and space of school governance.
And you're listening to the Governors Podcast. Okay, let's get into today's topic.
So I'm a co-opted governor. Well, what on earth is that?
Are you on two governing bodies?
Yeah, so I'm a co-opted governor in one and a trust appointed governor in another.
Right. Well, there are a number of different categories of governors.
Okay.
Which are also, you can have some categories that are in some types of schools like academies,
okay,
and other categories that are only in maintained schools.
So you're never just a school governor.
You are a school governor
in a general sense, irrespective
of the category.
Mm-hmm.
All governors are equal.
Right. Okay.
In the main.
Okay.
Yeah. In the main, they're all equal. In that they all have one vote.
Okay.
One voice, one vote. That they all have to uphold the Nolan principles of public life.
Mm-hmm.
They're all there for the main three things, which are to set the strategic direction,
mm-hmm,
financial probity, and hold the leadership to account.
Mm-hmm.
The different categories come in to provide the balance.
Oh, to make sure that you've got different types of stakeholders around the table?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in essence. So if we pick off the main ones, and we'll start with yours, your two, one
okay,
being trust appointed, one being co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
Co-opted is, how can I put it?
Is it like a specialist kind of governor?
It can be, yes.
Yeah.
But co-opted, in its simplest terms, is somebody who is usually appointed by the governors themselves.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, because in some situations, the appointment of a governor for a school,
mm-hmm,
could be made at a higher level.
Right.
I.e. it okay, could be made by the trust board, the multi-academy trust board.
Okay.
Can appoint a local governor.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So a co-opted governor is usually the decision of the governing body or the local governing body.
That's related to the school. Okay.
Some schools may call them community governors.
I was going to say, because I've heard that phrasing at times as well.
And that if your title is community governor, it's usually because you either live or work,
mm-hmm,
in the local community and you're bringing a specialism.
Okay.
Or knowledge of that area or context. So you can get co-opted and community interchangeable.
Okay.
I would imagine in some.
Okay.
Thinking about it, none of the schools that I'm attached to have community governors, but
mm-hmm,
they all have co-opted governors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. A trust appointed,
mm-hmm,
usually refers to, it can get slightly confusing because you can have a single academy trust,
mm-hmm,
where it's just one school. It's
mm-hmm
an academy, but it's just one school. It's not attached to any other school.
Mm-hmm.
Or a multi-academy trust, meaning there is two or more schools
in
that academy trust.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, if you are trust appointed, it's the trust board that appoints you.
You know why I think I was a trust appointed for this particular school is because it, when I became a governor at that school, it was transitioning from one MAT to another, Multi-Academy Trust for abbreviation's sake. So it was transitioning from one to another. So basically all of the LGBs were completely new. So they were literally starting from scratch.
So they wanted to almost lay the foundation.
So that's why I think I was trust appointed. It's not that if you tried to join that academy or that MAT now that you couldn't be trust appointed. It's just at the initiation stage, I guess that was role they filled first.
Appointments can be determined by the stage at which that school is at.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a school that is moving from being maintained to joining an academy,
mm-hmm.
then the categories will shift and change
mm-hmm.
around as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about foundation mm-hmm. governors, you can have the title of foundation governor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is similar to a trust appointed.
Okay.
You usually find them in maintained schools.
Okay.
And usually if there is a body, again, outside of the school or attached to the school, which if I use the Church of England as a example, the Church of England, the local diocese,
mm-hmm.
will have a number of schools in its diocese. And they will have, I think it's two or three, depending on the instrument of government, they would have two or three vacancies where they determine who is appointed.
Right. Okay.
So that's where you would get foundation governors.
Right.
So just like how you're a trust appointed, somebody could be a foundation governor
in a maintained school. Okay.
And it's usually when an additional body
mm-hmm.
Appoints that.
Just sounds weird, like, because you think, okay, do these. I mean, I'm just thinking, when I was thinking about this topic, and I was like, okay, I'm a trust appointed in one and co-opted in another. I always just assume not the school as such, but I was thinking, okay, why is that person, I don't know if it's status or something, you're thinking, does this person hold more powers? I know you kind of did the disclaimer at the beginning that, you know, for the majority of things, everyone is the same, it's just categories.
It's categories so that you can have the balance.
Right.
It is always about balance.
And if it's headhunted, like handpicked, want that person because they're friends with us.
Well, usually most governors won't even know or understand
mm-hmm.
what their category is.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, I have governors, when they're completing forms, they'll go, what category am I?
I think it's important to know
that. It is important to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I, as clerk, what I do is I have a form that is on the school's website that will show their categories. If any of my governors are unsure
mm-hmm.
of their start date or their expiry date, their term of office expiry date or
mm-hmm.
whatever, all the details are on the website.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the getting information about schools, GS.
And that's how you track your vacancies and things.
Absolutely.
So that when you're...
Because you have to track your vacancies.
Yeah.
But that is usually the responsibility of the clerk.
Yeah.
Or the chair of governors. But it's part of the governance makeup. If you've got a head of governance or a governance professional who monitors that thing,
mm-hmm.
it's not the responsibility of the governor to monitor.
But I think it's important for when you are either taking appointments or if you have a lot of people who are suddenly interested in the school, you can't just make them governors because they
exactly.
want to be governors. You've got to make sure that you actually have a vacancy.
You've got to have a vacancy in that category.
In that category,
So the others, I'm not sure how many I got to on my list.
So
but
we've done trust appointed, we've done foundation, we've done co-opted stroke community.
Right, you've got parent governors.
Yes.
Now, parent governors, you have to have a child in the school at the time of your appointment.
Right.
So you can continue to be a parent governor if your child leaves the school.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I was a parent governor at your school,
mm-hmm.
I did two terms,
mm-hmm.
But I left at the just before the last year of the second term because you left sixth form.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to. I didn't have to.
You can finish off
you
the term.
You can finish off the term. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I didn't really understand governance the way I understand it
and
now.
And the term is how long?
Just... Term is usually 4 years.
Okay.
Most schools are 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know in business, in the private
it's
sector,
three,
sometimes
right?
it's three.
Okay,
yeah. So, but the difference with a parent governor is that parent governors have to be elected
right.
by the parent body.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, the governing body don't have a choice.
There's that. And also, I just think how many parents really know each other unless you're a part of a parent
yeah,
association
it,
or
it
something.
It can be hard because I've had conversations with people who have either said, I'm not a parent, so how can I be a governor?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to explain, you don't have to be a parent to be a governor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I have the conversation about categories.
Mm-hmm.
But also parents who have said, I'd like to be a parent governor, but how do I get votes?
Mm-hmm.
How do, 'cause I don't really know. I'm new to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know that many.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you're, in essence, it's almost like a personal statement
yeah.
on your reasons why.
Yeah.
And there is a set process
right, okay.
that schools go through
mm-hmm.
in order to elect
mm-hmm.
parents so that it is very transparent,
mm-hmm.
so that there is no favoritism, there
mm-hmm.
is no fixing of anything.
Where the school's handpicking which
yeah,
parents
no,
they want.
There is, a set
yeah.
process
mm-hmm.
that schools
as part
follow.
Of governance.
As part of governance,
yeah.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But parents, I think there's usually about two, right?
There's usually two, yes,
yeah.
there are usually two. But again, your Memenarts or your Terms of Reference or your
mm-hmm.
Instrument of Government will tell you that.
And it's for people to also know if in your child's school there isn't a vacancy for a parent governor, there's not stopping you from being a governor in another school. You
right.
just will fall under a different category.
Right, exactly.
So.
Because again, I do sometimes advise parents
mm-hmm.
not to become governors in their child's school.
Oh, especially if there's a lot of emotion attached to
yes.
it. Because you're going to think about your reasons for why you're becoming
right.
a governor, which we spoke about in a different
because
episode.
Because sometimes you can be so emotionally driven
mm-hmm.
that your focus is on the wrong thing. You are focusing only on your child.
And you've got to think
and
about
as a
the
governor,
whole
you cannot do that.
Yeah.
You have to operate as a unit.
You cannot be there for your own interests.
You can't
interest.
Be there for your own interests.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I have coaxed in the past people like no
part of that coaching.
I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah.
You know. Now moving to
staff
governors, very similar to parent governors
mm-hmm.
in that they are elected,
mm-hmm.
and they are elected by the staff body.
Mm-hmm.
Any member of staff can vote.
Yes.
Even if the category isn't for them, for example. If there is a vacancy for a teaching staff governor,
right.
then support staff can vote as well.
Okay.
If the vacancy is for a support staff governor, then teaching members of staff can vote.
Mm-hmm.
But if the vacancy is for a teaching staff,
mm-hmm.
a support staff member cannot
be appointed.
Be nominated or appointed.
Right.
So
within the staff governors, there's subcategories.
Yes.
Is it just
again,
to make it fair?
For representation.
Okay, yeah.
For representation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, you could have a governing body that, because the head teacher hold the position under what's called ex officio,
mm-hmm.
meaning because of their position.
Mm-hmm.
Some head teachers, again, some academies
mm-hmm.
especially may say, no, it's not an automatic,
mm-hmm.
or the head teacher may be counted in the staff governor
oh, really?
Makeup. Yes, some
wow,
I have
okay.
seen that. Some will say the head teacher plus two.
Okay.
Others will say the head teacher plus one.
So I guess different schools, different governing
right.
bodies, different trusts.
Absolutely,
stipulate
and that's
it
why. That's why even when you're seeking advice, people will always refer you back to your own Memenarts or governance
yeah.
Handbook
yeah.
Because that's what will be the driver.
Mm-hmm.
So just like how you said, you know, just because if you can't be a parent governor in your child's school,
yes.
you can still be a governor in another school.
Yeah.
The same
for
with
teachers.
With a staff, well, any member of
or
staff.
Or member staff, yeah.
If you, I say, especially for teachers,
yes.
if you are aspiring
to
leadership, well, not even headship, if you are aspiring to leadership
so
in
middle leader,
any way,
senior.
Middle, senior,
yeah.
Right
Definitely.
Through to head,
mm-hmm.
then I say you must become a governor in another school. And I say that because as part of your professional development,
definitely
seeing a school top down is very different to seeing it bottom up.
Of course.
And you will, if you are aspiring to leadership, I would actually say don't even think about being a governor in your own school.
Mm-hmm.
Because by nature of the fact that you are a member of staff means that you'll be excluded from various aspects of being a governor.
Of course, yeah.
You won't be able to sit on exclusions. You won't be able to be part of the appraisal committee.
Anything to do with confidential papers, right, anything, and things. Yeah.
You will not see that side.
Yeah.
And so I would advise you step out. Mm-hmm. Like one of my schools has just appointed two secondary school teachers,
mm-hmm.
To their governing body, and mm-hmm. the governing body is a primary school.
Okay.
And when I was talking to them as part of the initial, not induction process, initial informal meeting process,
mm-hmm.
that I as clerk always get involved in, because I want to make sure that my governors know who I am.
But it's also because as clerk you coordinate the
Absolutely.
governors, so it's good to develop that relationship
exactly
from the beginning.
And I always want to set that relationship from the very beginning, almost before they've even met the chair and the head,
mm-hmm.
so that they can understand my role as mm-hmm. clerk and understand that I'm there to support them,
mm-hmm.
and they got to communicate with me.
Exactly. I definitely think a lot of business, personal and governance relationships, it stems from effective communication, knowing who the key players are and communicating effectively amongst yourselves. So if you're getting in from the beginning, then
as
it just
clerk,
helps.
Yeah.
So when they see these emails come through with your name in the inbox,
it's not like who's it?
No, you know exactly, who it is. Who. I have had clerks where they don't even introduce themselves the first time they send an email.
Yeah,
but
no,
hey,
absolutely.
That's another story.
But what I said to those two teachers was that they have a uniqueness that it isn't currently around the governing body table,
mm-hmm.
in that they understand year 7 onwards,
mm-hmm.
and the primary school understands
year six
downwards.
Yeah.
But the transition between year 6 and 7 is still almost like a no man's land.
That's so true.
There's a lot of focus in primary schools in terms of getting them to year 6 and their SATs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of focus in secondary schools in getting them to their GCSEs. But the transition between the two is so vital. And so having teachers from a secondary school on a governing body of a primary school is gold.
Sounds like a mini campaign here.
Well, it is.
Trying to get teachers from secondary schools on primary school governing bodies, and teachers from primary schools having the confidence to sit. I think it's so important that way, having the confidence to sit, because then you'll be an expert in what year sixes are like coming into year 7.
Right.
So don't think, oh, it's a secondary school, it's bigger than what I work in.
No,
it's not about that. It's about the information you have that will add to the value of the conversations around
I'm going to be delivering some training to trainee teachers,
mm-hmm.
And they've separated the primary group and the secondary group.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I want to do is to get them to understand that they've you need each other,
mm-hmm.
because the foundation of education is important right through to GCSE.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
it really, really is.
Education is buildable knowledge. So there's things, and I say this as a tutor myself who's been doing it for nearly a decade. When I'm working with teenagers, a lot of the things that I go over with them is foundation level stuff, because you're going to make sure that foundation is solid. Otherwise, you can build as much as you want on it, it will fall through.
If there are knowledge gaps.
Exactly.
So staff governors are vital to the process,
mm-hmm.
as are parent governors.
Mm-hmm.
And I know parent governors get a lot of flack, almost like, oh, we can't get any parent governors. You know, it's almost
the parent community is quite quiet, or not as engaged, or not as responsive.
Yeah, but parents are professionals in their own right
as
well.
Exactly. The commitments they have, or, you know, some of them, sometimes people are wary of the unknown. They don't know what it's about. It hasn't, because when I think of myself as a governor, a lot of people see governors as like this distant body from the school. Yes, we're strategic and yes, we don't get into the day-to-day operations and things. Mm-hmm. But I think if it became more common knowledge, you know, it's used in dialogue. Yeah. So senior leadership teams and other teams to talk about governance mm-hmm. in the school. Then when teachers see governors coming around, they're not like, oh, I'm on edge. I don't know what to do. Oh, it's this mysterious body.
Look, that is so true, because I see senior leaders especially coming in to governing body meetings to make presentations and things.
Oh,
they are so
dire sometimes
and so scared.
Yeah, and what amuses,
I'm thinking, you teach children.
I would say it amuses me when you see a teacher coming to do a presentation and you're thinking, but you stand in front of a classroom and speak every day, yet a room full of adults where the number of adults is half than a class size and probably a tenth of your year group, and you're scared to speak to us about your subject.
Yeah. So any teachers out there, just feel the fear and do it
anyway. Yeah, just think of what you tell your students and do practice that. But anyway, before we go off to another topic.
I've still got some more.
Yeah, definitely. Cover them.
In maintained schools, you also have a category called the local authority governor.
Oh, LA.
So LA governor.
Okay.
The local authority governor is nominated by the local authority, but they are still appointed by the governing body.
Huh? So that's like a two-tier, two-layers thing.
It is. And I've only recently come across it.
Mm-hmm.
I've only just come across it. I've always known they've existed.
Yeah.
But in terms of from a clerk's viewpoint, mm-hmm. having to manage an mm-hmm. LA appointment, because mm-hmm. my LA governor stepped down in September. And the process...
Is it long?
Well, you know, for me, anything's long that has to go through...
This person and that person and that body and this person.
You've got to complete an application form. I understand the process. I'm just thinking, so they've got to complete the application form for our governing body.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got to complete another one for the local authority.
Wow.
They've got to be interviewed by the local authority with references.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then recommended to the school.
Okay.
So if, like, I've got somebody who I know, I've just had an application for them, and the only vacancy I've got is the LA vacancy.
Right.
So if I want to get them, I have to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm half thinking, is this going to put this person off?
Oh, going through, is it too long for them?
Yeah, is it going to be too long? Because they've just submitted an application form to me.
Yeah.
And if I've now got to send them a link
mm-hmm.
to complete another application.
But do governors who are going for that particular category understand that there is a process then? So therefore, they shouldn't be put off as such.
The process is important, obviously. And having LA appointed governors is also important.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody knows the school or is familiar with the school that they are going to be attached to.
True, yeah.
They could just contact the local authority to be appointed.
Right, okay.
Just like you would contact Inspiring Governance or Governors for Schools or any of the organisations out there. You want to be a governor,
mm-hmm.
so you go to the people who find
vacancies, find
governors for schools.
Yeah.
So I understand that they have to have their process.
Yeah.
It's just because I'm experiencing it for the first time. It's like, seriously.
But then once you've done it a few times.
But for me, it's the delay in the process.
Right.
Because the local authority boards will meet, they won't meet all the time. I know when my governing body meetings are being held, so I can schedule my appointments to mm-hmm. fit in with my timetable.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got an additional timetable
to consider
mm-hmm. it sort of delays things. So that's why succession planning and planning in advance is really, really important. The last one or two that I came across as well, associate governors. If anybody is appointed as an associate, they're usually there.
I have heard of these,
actually. I haven't got any on any of my boards that I can think of off the top of my head, no. But they're usually appointed as an associate governor with no voting rights.
So it's really just a supportive role,
it's
really?
Usually because of a specialism.
Right, oh, okay.
So if, for instance, I'd know the school is going through a build, a massive build project, and they know somebody who's an architect or building contractor or something, where they haven't got a vested interest in the project itself, but have experience and knowledge of building works, then they may be appointed for it could be as little as 6 months or 12 months, or it could be as much as four years, but they're appointed usually for their specialism,
but
they don't have any voting rights in the same way.
I understand that makes sense.
And I came across another one called a sponsor governor, and I would imagine that this would probably being in an independent school.
Oh, okay.
I may be wrong, but the nature of a sponsor governor is usually somebody who has contributed funds or services. So I imagine...
Wouldn't that then, when it comes to that item on the agenda where it says declaration of interest...
Well, they'd have to declare the interest. And that's why I think it's probably more in the independent sector
where
you would come across.
Normal, where you'll have people who do have... Because you could become a shareholder in independent schools and things.
Well, you can...
But you're not necessarily a governor. But then governance in... No, we're not even going there right now.
That's why I sort of went... I haven't come across it. I definitely don't want to
fluff that. Disclaimers, we ain't got a clue. Disclaimer for that last section, we ain't got a clue. But okay, so there's a sponsor governor. So you may hear the title.
You may hear, yeah.
But unless you're in a certain type of school, you may not have to concern yourself with what that is. But we can definitely look
absolutely.
Into it.
And the thing that we haven't touched on trustees or members.
You see, that needs a whole new episode because especially when you're part of a school that you're aware has multi layers to it. And I guess it's the multi academy trust, and there's a body that supports all schools or all the schools in that trust, and
you get into CEOs and members,
and then you hear members and you hear trustees, and you're a foundation this and you're a trust this, and you're no, but I'm on the school here. And then when you've got a person who sits on all three, it's like whoa, okay.
And that's a completely different episode.
I think we will explore that.
But for now, whatever category you are, know that you still have the same voting rights.
So is that your takeaway then? That is my takeaway.
Irrespective of your category, except associate, you have a vote. One person, one vote.
Okay, for me, it would be knowing what your category is, even if it's just for yourself, just so that you're aware of what your I don't want to say limitations are, but what you're allowed to do, and whether you're an access all areas kind of governor, or if you are a parent governor, know what you can get involved in and what you can't. Same with staff governor. But I'd say a nice thing that we definitely spent some time on discussing is the value of having parents or people with children becoming governors, not necessarily in the school of which their children are in, and teachers, regardless of what stage of education you teach, becoming a governor in another school, regardless of what stage of education that is.
Yeah.
So I definitely would say that would be something that jumped out at me for this conversation.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe via your preferred streaming platform. The Governors Podcast is a brand of the legal entity Education Governance Solutions Limited, and a free training resource for anyone. So if you know someone who is interested in becoming a governor or a trustee, please share this podcast with them. And if you'd like to get in touch with us directly with questions or comments, then drop us an email at thegovernorspodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on social media platforms at The Governors Podcast. Let's connect.